Well, it's really good to be home. Next week, we'll get to hear some about Abby's trip, and I'll share too, but we'll give her a little more time. I sprung that on her last night to organize her thoughts a little bit about what happened in her 4 or 5 month period that she was gone. And how they ministered in the streets of Mexico and all the kind of things they did. Thank you for praying so much. I appreciate it so much. There's always a lot of those. How many of you here have been to Africa before? Raise your hand. Real hot so everybody can see. There's a bunch of us, and there are some that aren't here that have been. There's always tricky stuff in Africa, so your prayers matter. And people kept telling me not to come today, or I shouldn't, why would I come today? And my question is, in light of what God's doing, why would I not be here today? I think that's a different mindset. So I'm just going to give this sort of scattered word. It's not going to be a real clear sermon, but I believe God can use it to speak to our hearts about some things. There were several things going on this trip. One is just this thing that's going on inside of me. That's this place called Encounter. And that not in this holy way of, we've talked about this before, and that scripture was read this morning in the gospel, that there's nowhere in scripture does it say the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Nowhere. Though we know that's part, he does that. God does that. Jesus can do that. The Father can do that. The Holy Spirit can do that because he hates anything that would rob us of life and life more abundant. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm against anything and will fight anything that robs you from having the life and life more abundant that I've called you to have. And so God shows us sin not to make us feel bad, but to expose all thievery. Amen? And so in this thing that God's doing, it's just this place of like Second Kings 4, where you just keep presenting these empty vessels and the Holy Spirit just keeps filling them. And just being open to let the Lord show you, convict you of righteousness, and the process show you, will you present an empty vessel here? Will you surrender this thing? And so just throughout the whole journey, there was this fascinating reality of walking out and representing Christ in every situation, while at the same time having the eyes of my spirit open for him to show me places that are the righteousness of Christ that I didn't walk in. An anxious moment. See, here what you have to think of, I was thinking of like, nobody on our worship team cares more about worshiping the Lord with, I mean, they all care, but there's nobody, they care all the same, but this person cares just as much as anybody about just worshiping the Lord. They've been a worshiper all the years I've known them. And that's TC. And I know that there was a time in TC's life where she said, hang in there. You know, I've heard Brian Johnson and other people say that with a song. And that was a really great song, but it was awkward words. But here's the thing that might have happened was that TC might have gotten embarrassed and I would shut her down. But you see, dead people can't get embarrassed. The person who gets embarrassed about stuff, that's a form of pride, that person died on the cross. Listen to me. You're not dead. You died. You're alive, but you're alive in Christ. So hear the word. Dead people can't get embarrassed, and Jesus won't. And he's your life. Hello? That's really good theology. Dead people can't get offended, and Jesus won't. Dead people can't get anxious, and Jesus doesn't. You just keep taking that. And so when the Lord shows you, you're invited to know Jesus here as your life here, to participate in this. This is a moment, and you go, oh, my goodness. And so you empty this off this empty vessel. There's a repentance and surrender, and there's this perpetual encounter. And it's a way of life. You're not trying to protect yourself. Jesus came that I might participate in his life and all that he is and all that he has. And so I want to experience that. And God's giving us a bigger vision of what that, the possibilities of all that. And so throughout the trip, you have so many inconveniences, as you know. I missed my flight twice because I'm in Montgomery and they can't get the door to the plane to close. Something that can't be hard to do, you know, like fix the door. They just landed, it was working, now it's not working. Took them 3 hours to fix the door. And what we discovered is it took them an hour and a half to get somebody to come fix the door. And having fixed the door, it took them another hour and a half to get somebody to come and sign off that they had fixed the door. And so in the process, I didn't just miss one flight. I missed the second flight they bumped me up to. So I didn't leave until a day, and I didn't get there until a day and a half later than normal. Now, the good news is that I'm in Christ, and I got to eat a great Mexican meal the next day in Dallas. Awesome place. And so there's all those kind of inconveniences. On my way home, we discovered the night before, after a 10-hour bus ride, they had canceled my flight from Entebbe, leaving Africa, to go to Doha. So I'm leaving from Doha. I got a ticket from Doha to Dallas and Dallas to Montgomery, but I can't get out of Africa. And so it's like 12:30 in the morning after 2 hours, Karen's discussing with them, and they're saying that, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And the plane is full, and you must have done it. And Karen's like going, how could I have done that? And so it's just a crazy world right now out there in international travel. So finally they said, well, look, there's a seat that somebody else has, and we will drop them because they were a third-party seat. They got the seat because they have platinum status, and so we were going to give it to them, but we won't give it to them. We'll charge you $596. And Karen's going, why would I pay you more money for a seat we've already bought? And they finally, supervisor, and finally they agreed. They said, well, $300. You know, it's a full flight. We did that to get me out of Africa. Get into the plane, and there were 24 seats, and only five of them were taken. They lied to us the whole time. So what do we do about that? We get mad, man. We're going to write a letter. We're going to say all this stuff. Dead people can't get offended, and Jesus won't. Does that mean you don't write a letter? You write a letter in love. You may even share the gospel with them. You just let them know that they probably won't have a good business if they keep telling people things that aren't true. And that $300 that they took was Jesus' money, so I'm not sure what he's going to do about that, but we bless him anyway. And then there are two others when we got to the airport. American Airlines booked them twice, so they didn't know where the leg was. It's a long story. It's crazy. There's just that journey of the whole trip. There's that other issue going on in my own walk. That's part of what's happening, where there's just surrender and then surrender and then surrender and just encounter with encounter with encounter, because with every surrender, with every ditch that you dig, he fills with water. And he points out where the ditch needs to be dug. You don't have to dig around. You just keep walking out. And he goes, that's a place for the righteousness of Christ to come forth. Oh, yeah. And it was so cool. It was so cool to pass that on. There's a place in Africa called Bubu Kwanga. Luke's been there. Sam's been there. That's where the lady named Rose, who was blind, 15-year-old, was healed. And every time I've ever gone to Bubu Kwanga, it's this little bitty place in the jungle that's just been this amazing encounter with the Lord. So we're processing in to Bubu Kwanga. And this is how grateful they are that we come. In the processional, you have ladies throwing garments on the ground, and you step on them, then they throw more, and you step on them, no matter if it's a mile long. And they'll even pick them up and put them in front of you. There's just such honor. They're so grateful that you're there. And as I'm processing in, the Lord said to me, he said, coming up out of the pandemic, every Christian is coming up out of the pandemic either deceived or desperate. That's it. Because the enemy was involved, and yet God wanted to use it, and so many Christians got deceived and still are. And that every believer's come up out of the pandemic either deceived or desperate. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's the word that Whitney had about desperation. Amen? Because the desperate see. The desperate are willing to lay down anything. So when you see something, desperation isn't like desperation is like, oh my gosh, I see what I'm seeing and I want it so bad, I'm desperate to lay down anything that's necessary that you've already purchased for me to experience. And that was really cool. Another thing that happened to me that was so cool in this process was we pray for hundreds of people every day. And it was on the second day when we spoke, some of you saw those articles, I'm not sure who took the pictures, but it's called Martyrs Day. It's a national holiday. And so nobody goes to work in Uganda. And 42 million people, none of them go to work. And they all make their way towards this mountainside where there's these shrines to the 25 martyrs. There were Anglican and Roman Catholic martyrs who were killed many decades ago for the gospel's sake. And so there's a celebration for Roman Catholics. There's a celebration for the Anglicans. And there's a group, there's an ecumenical group, has a committee, and they have all the others come. And that was where we were, and that's where I spoke. It was a glorious time. And we saw the Lord. It really wasn't a time set up for things like healings and whatever, but we just went for it anyway. And if you get to see that, I think Bracken sent it out, or Gail did. It's fun to watch. It's 4 hours long, so you don't want to watch the whole thing. But you can watch what happens. You can watch what I shared, because it'll make you feel at home. But I talked about, I honored Christ the King. I honored what God was doing. I called them to a place of surrender. I told them the rice for gold story that many of you have heard a bunch of times. And then we drove the next day to, well, one of the things that happened, that, because you really couldn't do the ministry you wanted to do, when the recessional began, there were a gazillion people there, and so I'm last in the processional line leaving. Or if you see the film or the thing, there's a lot of people dressed up and stuff from all these different churches, and I'm last because I'm the guest speaker. All these people just come crowding in. So I'm just having to work my way through, and it took me forever to get out of the thing, but all they wanted to do was for me to touch them. So that's what we were doing, just touching them. Let me just say this to you. Nobody was afraid of COVID. And I'm not saying that COVID is not a real deal. It's a real deal. Understand. But people are just so desperate. They just want God to touch them. And, buddy, I lived up close and personal with a lot of people for this whole trip. And, but you're just touching them. And then every once in a while, you'd stop for like 5 seconds. And there was one old lady who was blind in one eye. And there was a number of things that happened. And when we got to the end, they ran to bring the report that she could see. Hello? That's just trying to walk out of the place. We did the 10-hour drive the next day to Budumbujo. As we get there about 7 in the evening, just before dark, in this place called Bubukwanga, which is maybe 7 or 8 miles before you get to Budumbujo, there must have been 200 people met us, 7 or 8 cars, a police car, sirens, horns, and led us all the way into Budumbujo. The first day that we were in Budumbujo, we went to a CC church in a place called Bazunga. And it sits on top of the hill, and it was just smacked full of people, over 1,000 people. And that was a CC church, and we ministered to all the refugees. All of you, of course, I think know the story that there are many rebel groups in Congo, but this is a Muslim rebel group, and they've been particularly dark and evil. They've destroyed lives, and the refugees have fled over the border into Uganda. And some have gone into UN camps, but some have been staying in people's homes in little towns like Bazunga. And they also have tents that they built on the property of churches and whatever. And when you're in this place called Bazunga, you're right there at the border. You can go right to the gate. So the rebels are just on the other side. You know, and the most, if you kept up with the CEC stuff, the one that people's hearts have been broken about the most is one of our archdeacons over there. His 3 children were stolen by the rebels. One has 2 girls and a boy. The boy escaped in the night and made his way back to Nobili, the home. But the 2 daughters were ravaged and then killed in the forest. And in that part of the world, you may have a bishop with multiple archdeacons. Like one archdeacon may serve him in his cathedral. Then he has several archdeacons that are kind of like miniature bishops. It's sort of like they have areas they're in charge of to help. So it's different maybe than our system. Now that people lost their families like that, they lost their homes. It's been 4 months now. They've lost everything. And they're just living in squalor. And so we ministered there the first day, in the CC church. But the second day, I didn't know this, they took us to an Anglican church in Bazunga. And almost all of them were Anglican refugees from Congo. And we ministered there. And then the third day, we went to a Roman Catholic church. And it was packed full, gazillion Roman Catholics who we ministered there. And in all those 3 places, we laid hands on and prayed for every single person. And we saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get healed. I mean, I would use the word thousands, but I don't want to. And one of the things I learned about that, too, is like, what is the difference here and there? And you have all these different ideas of what's going on. And the Lord just reminded me, he said, Chuck, I'm the truth about healing. That's all that matters. I'm the truth about healing in America. I'm the truth about healing in Africa. So when you look at the life of Jesus, he's the truth. Jesus is perfect theology. He's the truth about healing. And that's the thing we need to keep our eyes on, and that alone. You can't allow your experience to dictate to you what the truth is. Eventually, if you'll practice the truth, it'll be set free. So as we pray for people for deliverance and for healing, for miracles and signs and wonders, Jesus is the truth. The truth isn't what happens in Africa. The truth isn't what happens in America or what happens in Brazil. Jesus is the truth. And we minister to people based on that fact alone. What is the truth? Jesus revealed the truth. Amen? But one of the things that happened to me on the second day, and this is just a consequence, it won't happen like this for everybody else, of what God's doing in us. So I've got this world going on. There are some palace intrigue going on. Timing for me being there was really perfect. There's other stuff happening. Oh, by the way, and again, I told you this would be scattered. Timothy, where's Charlotte? Charlotte here? Timothy said to tell you hello. Charlotte and Jimmy supported him and their family and Brian going through school. And Timothy was so impacted by what we were sharing that God is doing about this surrendering, this place of surrender that God's taken us to, that God did such a work in him, and he's significant. He's Hannington, Bishop Hannington's nephew. He's his right-hand man. He's a canon and an archdeacon. Timothy's figuring out how to do a Zoom thing so that they all can in Uganda watch our Sunday morning service on the Zoom meeting, because it's 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the evening there. Well, noon at 10, it'll be 6 o'clock evening there. And so we'll figure that out in the next few weeks. That's really cool. That all those thousands of Africans are going to be with us through Zoom on our Sunday mornings. But one of the things that saw it happened again, and happened the second day when I was ministering in the Anglican church. There was this guy who came up and he was blind. Baraka. The word Baraka is Hebrew word for blessing. Baraka, when you open his eyes looked like marbles that had been put in a frying pan. They were just, and he couldn't see anything. And so I just prayed for him, and then he started, at some point, he could see white. That's what happened to that lady in Bubukwangi years ago. She could see white, but we ran out of time after praying for her for a couple hours. And we had to tell her, we're going back to America, but sometimes God will start something. If he starts something, many times he'll like finish it. So maybe over the next few days, you'll be totally healed. So we left, and then her bishop, Hannington, was here in the States a couple months later, some years ago. I think this was 2017, 16, something like that. Sam and Luke might remember. And so I saw Hannington. I said, what about Rose? He said, I went back to Bubukwangi. A week and a half later, she's totally healed. And I got to meet her a couple years later, and she like is the worship leader in the church, leading people to Christ. So I've seen that happen several times, and we run out of time because people have so many people to pray for. What I wish we could do is like at that point, like stop and say, we're not going anywhere for a while. We're going to have this team's going to keep praying for you till we get all the way through. But we can encourage them. But anyway, this guy's totally blind. Pray for him for a while, nothing, nothing. And my hand goes in front of him, nothing. And then the Lord said to me, why don't you start singing in tongues? Because you see, one of the few things he's told me about here, sing in tongues until the glory fills the room. Wow, so I just began to sing in tongues. Man, I could feel the glory on my arms. And suddenly I began to see what was going on inside their bodies. Almost like something being played out with figures in them. And what the enemy was trying to do, what demonic spirits were doing, what was going on here. And I would just pray in cooperation with what I was seeing. I've never had that happen before. I didn't ask for it to happen, but it was blowing my mind. And every once in a while, when we knew there was victory, I would see this little figure like do like this, and then confetti would go up in the air, and I knew that victory was there. And I would declare victory, and they would be totally healed. So I began to see stuff going on in Baraka, and suddenly he said he could see white, but he couldn't see anything, couldn't make me out. And I mean, if you're 2 feet in front of me and you can't see me, you are blind as a bat. And then at some point, he said, I can see light. It wasn't just white, but light. And I can see clear. Things are clear. And so we're all getting blown away. And then at some point, in the end, we had to finish. He could see light. He could see me as an image. And every time I put my hand in front, I go like this. He'd go. He'd catch it after it passed in front of him. I'd go. And we have a physician assistant with us, Chris Newcomb, Father Chris Newcomb, and he was just blown away because he'd never seen that before. But we had to stop because we ran out of time. But as soon as I got through praying, one of the new people who had never been before, Katie, she's from Georgia, she's the organ piano player at Christ the King there, she goes, here. I guess she figured, you're the blind guy to pray for blind people. She had an old lady who was blind in one eye. Same thing happened to her. She got healed. That's just stories of some amazing things. Timothy's wife, when she got pregnant a few years ago, Charlotte, I don't know if you remember, that gave birth and the child died. And ever since that, it's 4 years ago. And she's had this severe pain here in her legs ever since then, and real depression. So we prayed for her, and she was totally healed of all this. After 4 years, free from pain. But the bottom part of her legs were still bothering her, so she came to our, through my room, outside my room, sat outside my room with a few other people, and God healed that too. There was one little boy who, he was 12, he was walking with flip-flops with his hands because his feet were out. I think he had polio. And I didn't see anything happen with him. So I remember those things too. Because that's not the truth. You know, well, come on, Bishop, don't be ridiculous. Really? Why not? I mean, was Jesus ridiculous? Or is Jesus Jesus? If I'm not beating myself up over the head over it, I'm just saying, I want to keep going deeper into this big room because that's part of the treasure. See, this is Romans 8. How am I doing on time? I forgot my watch. It's a miracle. I didn't remember. It's a miracle I remembered my pants. So it's like your mind doesn't work right. There's something like you're here. But it, no, that, don't say that. Don't say that. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Don't be, for all the rest of you that the spirit of fear set in, don't be afraid. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. This is not from me. This is from someone else. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you are now invited to belong to it. Now, we're Easter people. Every Sunday is considered a mini, M-I-N-I, Easter. I don't know why it's a mini. It's every day is an Easter day. This is from N.T. Wright. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. And that, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Let me read it again. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled, revealed in Christ. And now you're invited to belong to it. So Jesus didn't just come and present, unveil the kingdom. Jesus, the life of heaven, Jesus, it was revealed in him. The life he lived was the life lived in heaven on earth with all the battles going on earth. He was tempted in every way like unto us. So Jesus came and revealed by who he was and the life he lived, the life of heaven, eternal life, which is the quality of life, heavenly life. And Jesus revealed that and then gave away, you know, unveiled or demonstrated what this atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven is like as people got healed. Even as the Father sent me, I send you, Jesus said. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. And so you have been called, first and foremost, to colonize the earth, unveiling, because you're in Christ, by the life you live, the life of the kingdom of heaven, the life in heaven, lived out through you. Amen? You're called to reveal what life in heaven looks like by the life you live because of your union with Christ. And in the process, infect others, colonizing the whole world until the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdom of our God and his King, Jesus. That's the deal. The biggest deal in the world that's going on right now is not who's in the White House. Is that a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal. But on a secondary level, the biggest deal is that you and I are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You're in union with Christ, and you're called to reveal the life of heaven and to impact people with that life because it's miraculous, it's supernatural, brings healing, it sets people free from depression and all those other things. Colonizing the earth. You're the dangerous one on this earth, not some political party. You're the dangerous one. You're the one the enemy fears the most. I'm not saying those things are unimportant. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying don't be deceived into thinking those things are the most important things on the earth. The Ugandans don't give a roasted rip about that. What they're excited about is colonizing the world. They've been living with corrupt government their entire existence. I hope we don't. But actually, we always have at some level. So am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to vote for life and all those kinds? Yes, yes, yes. I'm not against all that. I'm just saying, what's your priority? What's our priority? What's the issue? We're called to represent Jesus, to unveil what life, new creation looks like, life in the kingdom of heaven looks like, and then give it away and colonize the earth. And the whole world, it said, is groaning for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. They're longing. You understand it's important. So when I have a person on the phone lying to us about a flight, what's happening? That's a human being groaning to encounter the new creation. Groaning for the new creation. When I have people who are committing evil, who are Congolese and they're slaughtering people, cutting their feet off, you know, raping and destroying these two daughters, and they're, what's happening? What are the Congolese doing? Are they committing evil? Yes, they're responsible for God. Yes, but what are they doing? They're groaning. They're broken, fallen people groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Remember the vision that Betty Brennan had all those years ago when she was walking the way of the cross at Via Della Rosa in Jerusalem and she tripped and fell down and she thought she knocked herself out, but in the whole process, she had this big vision and she was doing this conference, and in the conference, these two ladies that she'd been doing, this was actually happening there, she was at this conference, but they were really jealous of her and were making her life miserable, hurting her feelings. She'd called Joe, wanted to come home. He said, no, you can't come home. So she goes and walks to Via Della Rosa, falls out, has this vision. She sees this giant cross, and this cross starts coming closer and closer to her. And then she makes out something, like little pins, little something on the cross. There's millions of them. As it got closer and closer, it was people, little faces, millions of faces. And the faces, as it got closer and closer, you could hear their voices going, help me, love me, help me. When people commit evil, what's happening? They're groaning. They don't know it, but they're groaning. The desire of the nations is Jesus. They're groaning for something other. They're groaning. I mean, I can say it that way. They're groaning for the revelation of somebody saying, here's the antidote to this virus called sin. The vaccine is Jesus. And we're the vaccine. They encounter us in Christ. To colonize, to say, no, you don't have to be controlled by hatred and fear and greed and lust anymore. You can know him. That person's been crucified and there's a new creation in Christ. Will you believe and be set free? Colonizing the world. Instead of hating them, wanting to have revenge for them, there are things we have to do to stop and do those kind of things. I understand. But what's our attitude as a Christian? When somebody's rude and lying, as you're waiting to get your plane, when you're already half dead, tired, what do you hear? Groaning. I hear groaning. I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm hearing what Jesus is hearing, seeing what Jesus is seeing, knowing that I'm in Christ and I'm called to colonize the world. Kingdom of heaven. People are going to come out of the pandemic either deceived or desperate. Don't excuse evil. There are laws. Those are the protection that God gives us. But what's our heart? And what's here's the amazing thing. This is the end. Now this archdeacon who had, his two daughters had been violated and killed, and his son who came back. Everybody, I knew that story. I didn't know the person's name. I didn't know their face. I didn't know any of that stuff. And on Pentecost Sunday in Hennington's church, I'm sitting up there. I've got my everything that makes you hot on. It's purgatory. And so I have my stole on, I have my Charleswell on and the big hat. And I'm sitting there. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to give that stole away. And I began to look and think who it was. Because the stole, though, you have to understand, was Bishop Adler's favorite red stole. And he had given it to me. It was my favorite red stole. And I normally wouldn't take it to Africa, but I took it to Africa. So it's under my stuff. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to give that stole away. And so I began to see a couple of different faces. And I wasn't sure. And finally I got fixed on this one person's face. Because there's a bunch of clergy there. Like, there's 100 clergy there from Congo, from Uganda. And so I asked Bishop Hennington, I said, who is that guy over there? And he thought it was somebody from Fort Portal, which is in Uganda. I said, oh, whatever. So the service is going on, stuff's going on. And I just pulled that thing out from under me. I went over there and had him come to me. I put it around his neck, and I prophesied to him. I said, the anointing that's on me, it's on Bishop Adler, it's on Bishop Adler, it's on you. Don't let any suffering stop you. Now, I thought he's from Fort Portal, which was not Congolese, but I just said, not any suffering stop you. Just don't stop, because God's going to use you in profound ways. And I went on a word like that. And then he sat down. You could see his look on his face, and so he sat down. And so my buddy, there were two Congolese bishops there, so about 10 minutes later, so this guy's wearing his stole over his suit. And so I said to Bishop Jacques, who's Congolese, I said, Jacques, is that guy, the archdeacon here in the room, whose two daughters were murdered and violated, whose son escaped, is he here? He said, oh, yeah. He said, he's right there. And he was the guy I gave the stole to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, of all the people, in a lot of ways, of all the things that happened, that was the coolest thing in the whole world to happen. But it also set me up like, whoa, buddy, strap up, get ready for this ride, because this bigger room, this river, just flows, just go with it. And that was 2 days before I began to see what's going on inside of people when God's doing stuff with them. But think about that. Think about what it meant to that guy. And of all the people in the room, I would fix my eyes on that. It was the Lord, of course. It wasn't me, of course. But here's the thing, of course, if you're surrendered and it's him, you get to do all the stuff he does. That's a journey. That's a river you want to be in. And of course, we were all blown away, but it was so stunning. And he came to every meeting we had, and he had that red stole on every time we met. And in one place, he still led the worship, singing hallelujahs. If you ever heard African worship, it'll blow your doors off. This guy, you know why? Does Uganda have a corrupt president? Yeah. He's been there for 40 years. Does Congo have a corrupt government? Yeah. Congo's horrible. But you know what this guy's singing? He just lost two daughters. You know what he's singing worship? Not that he got a stole. That the kingdom of heaven's here. He was worshiping because he was in Christ. And he gets to participate in a big story, much bigger than anything else. That's colonizing the world with the kingdom of heaven. And he had no unforgiveness, not any, towards those men who had devastated his children. Because he knew Christians can't lose. His daughters were good. But those people who did that to his daughters were groaning. Groaning. To encounter heaven. And he felt it was his joy. An assignment to bring that. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Listen, I share all these stories because I just want you to understand what God's doing. What God was doing there, which is a lot of new things for me, was just a result of what God's doing here. So we came out of the pandemic either desperate or deceived. If you're not desperate, if you don't see what God's doing, and don't want to jump in, ask the Lord to change that. Be the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite. Lord, take me away with you to this place and let us run. And it says, and the king brought me into his chambers. He always answers that prayer. Always. You know, my favorite candy bar in the world, which I haven't been able to eat in years, is the Midnight Milky Way. You know, the Milky Way with the white stuff in the middle. It's white, and it's dark chocolate on the outside. Oh, my gosh. But what I've discovered spiritually, I didn't know they made one like this big. Okay. Well, I hope I didn't go late. I don't have a watch. Shh, don't tell me. It's like, never tell me the time. Don't ever tell me how many people are in church. I don't want to know that. It's too easy to get bent. But let's do this. Let's just, if God, you'll come up and you'll consecrate the host and the cup. It was so cool.
Don't forget full sight.
Yeah, okay. It was so cool to be in that Roman Catholic church. And we prayed together. I'm just stunned that we got in that church. And they were so thrilled to see us. And they were so thrilled, and they're saying, we've never had an archbishop come here before. They'd never seen one before. Well, that's when the Archbishop thing, you take it out for a spin, it means something. You know, it helps other people. I mean, but I just gave this prayer too. I prayed for them. I prayed, you know, in case anybody's not sure, a chance to receive Christ, whatever. I mean, they act like they had a relationship with Jesus, but I just prayed this prayer just to be, you know, Protestant paranoid. And so we prayed this little prayer. And they're all going, yeah, amen. But then I prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were worshiping their hearts out. And they were getting healed right and left. And with some of the monies you guys gave me, in that one day, we fed 5,000 people. That's a big deal. So, that's his story. I'm sticking to it. I'm glad to be home. But they have such childlike faith. And they don't really have any options. You know what I'm saying? There's no options like, okay, let's elect a better president. Well, they can't. They've been trying to for 40 years. And he loses all the elections, but he keeps staying president. But let's elect a better president. And then you get an Idi Amin. That's not their hope. That one hope, Jesus. And that hope never disappoints. So, we have full cell night tonight. We switched our prayer to once a month on Sunday night. It's from 6 to like 7:30 tonight. So I invite you to come. You can come and stay for 5 minutes or stay for the whole time. It's just about our praying into what God's doing. Not begging him for more. We're actually asking him to just adjust us. He's done his part. He's doing his part. We just want to participate in it. And I might be here. I might not be here. My kind of commitment was I'll do today, but I don't know if I can make it. Because you feel like your eyes, somebody stole your eyes. You can see, but they don't feel like normal eyes. So we'll see if I come. But anyway, I invite you to come. So we receive the body and the blood of Jesus. And I tell you the cool thing, you know, Protestants, and I'm not a Protestant. I don't want to be a Protestant. The word Protestant means protest. That's a bad curse. I'm a member of a group of people that just want to protest everything. Sort of provokes the spirit of rebellion. I don't know what, I'm a Christian. But I would be considered a Roman Catholic Church. And for us to pray for them, but they were thrilled. They encountered the Lord. That's Jesus, man. We were in the Anglican Church, CEC Church, Roman Catholic Church, and we saw the same God do the same stuff everywhere we went.